Good morning. It's 10 a.m. on March 27th, 2020, and I hereby call the meeting to order of the Surrey County Board of Supervisors. We are originating from the administration building of the Surrey County Courthouse. Public access is being provided via conference call. I would make a note that if you're using this number to call in, we may use a different number next week that allows more lines to call in. So always check the agenda before calling in to make sure you have the correct number. I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with the following additions. Item 6, updates on COVID-19. A staff update in addition to the elected official, the treasurer. We will have a staff we'll have an update from Barb Steinbach, IT director. And then I would also suggest that we add another item, and a new item 8, as any other actions deemed necessary by the board of directors at this time. 9 will become other reports, 10 will become public comment, and 11 adjournment. Would entertain such a motion.
Can I just, did you say 8 was any other?
Any other actions deemed necessary by the board of directors at this time.
By the board of directors? Or do you mean board of supervisors?
Board of supervisors.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We just gave Ethan another group to worry about.
Yeah.
No, sometimes you go back to old times and you long term.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we were talking
about. You two are for board of directors, and that's why I said that.
Yep.
Board of supervisors. Thank you for catching that.
I got a message, but it's really hard to hear you on the conference call. I don't know if we can turn up the volume.
Or turn the volume up.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Can somebody tell me, is this better? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Hopefully that'll be as well. We'll work for the recorders. If I get two microphones close to me, we get a lot of feedback. So I'm kind of trying to get closer to the microphone that we have by the phone. Okay. I would entertain a motion.
I move the agenda as amended.
I second.
Okay. Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Agenda is adopted. Next, a statement explaining why a meeting in person is impossible or impractical be per code section 21.8.1, as we have been doing and we'll probably be continuing to do for a while now. Excuse me, if you're listening in, could you mute your phone from your end? Let's try to hear some conversation. Thank you. Because of the fact that we are in the COVID-19 and pandemic right now, we're following all the guidance we can about social distancing. We have closed our offices to the public, even though we're still providing services. That's the reason why it's impossible and impractical to hold an in-person meeting at this point. I don't think I have to. The next thing is the necessity of meeting to be held on less than 24 hours notice. This meeting was noticed more than 24 hours. We do have some agenda items that may not, or some documents supporting agenda items that may not have gotten onto the agenda 24 hours ahead of time, but that's our practice and what we try to do, and in these times we can't always get that on, but I thought I would make that statement. Before we go on to updates, I'm going to ask everybody who's presenting to us and supervisors as well, you know, brevity at this point. We have several very important issues that we need to go ahead and address today. So asking everybody to be succinct in their updates, and I do thank you for being here. I do notice that Barb's not here now. I wonder if somebody could text Barb and tell her she's up right after Ted.
I'm on the call.
You're on the
call, Linda. So.
Okay. Super. Never mind then. Thank you. Ted,
okay.
Person, the mic right in front of me, please. And speak loudly, because it's your...
I usually don't have a problem with speaking loudly, Linda.
Thank you, Ted. You're not out on the back 40. You're in the call here.
We are in an unprecedented time. It would be irresponsible for us to approach this time with a business-as-usual approach. We have already changed that approach. So for the last week and a half, in terms of keeping my staff in the treasurer's office safe, the public safe, but also providing the vital and essential functions that our office does, we have been working on a better plan to maintain coverage of our office. I submitted a document last night, a memo that I passed along to the other elected officials in the county, explaining a plan that the treasurer's office intends to take beginning Monday morning. This plan was not an easy one to come to. It was not an easy decision, but all of us were elected or put in these positions because people trust us to make difficult decisions. I consulted with our county HR and with our county attorney's office on this plan. I feel that this is the best way for the treasurer's office to try to provide the Story County residents coverage of our office duties for as long and effective an amount of time as possible, while also keeping the staff as safe as possible. It looks like the treasurer's memo got included on the online agenda. I don't intend to read it into the record, but I just wanted to make the supervisors aware while also making the public aware of what we were going to do in our office, and try to be as transparent as possible with our reasoning and what we do in terms of hoping to continue to provide Story County residents with excellent service through this difficult time.
I thank you for thinking about all these issues. Are there any questions from the supervisors? I think that we all have had an opportunity to read it. Supervisor Hedges, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions at this particular time.
Supervisor Olson?
I don't have any questions. I, too, want to thank you because of the thought you put into this. It's focused on delivering of service. It's limited in time, and it's specifically related to a time of great need for your services. And so you've got an anticipated end date. And so I just want to say that it was very well thought out and very targeted toward a specific need at a specific time. So thank you.
And just a good reminder, while you guys have thanked me, I would like to thank Noelle and Alyssa from HR and Ethan Anderson from the attorney's office. It was not an easy decision to come to, and I want to thank them for all the guidance they provided. So.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
And is it okay if I use some of your language in a discussion later? I don't want to be accused of plagiarism without, okay.
It is now in the public record.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And Barb Steinbach, thank you for attending. I'm sorry I didn't see you out there earlier. Would you like to make a report to us?
Yes, in regard to remote access, the IT group is ready to go. Those who need to work from home have to, there's a few more bits of information that we need to give them, but everyone was very, very nice in sending detailed information to me as to what their requirements might be. I put all that information together in a spreadsheet, so those who have a Windows 10 version device at home, I would encourage them to remote into their work computer. Those who have laptops at work will need to see IT before taking them home if they plan to work from home. We have to do something with the host file. And we do have a couple laptops here in case you're in need. We don't have a lot. But I think we're ready to go. So whenever the decision is made, we're prepared.
Barb, this is Laura, and I think we all need to clear up some misunderstanding or confusion that may have occurred. The Board of Supervisors was under one understanding about having to approve people for those VPNs, while you now have given us updated information that you at least believe initially for this first week while we try it out that everybody who was cleared by a department head will get one, correct?
will have access.
Correct. The feedback I got initially was like, oh dear, we're going to get overrun and we won't have the resources to accommodate everyone. But you know, everyone took a closer look at their needs, and I'm pleased to say we do have enough IP addresses that we can pass out to those who have asked for them.
Thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So I don't think the board needs to take any official action then, other than to just direct the IT director, provide direction to go ahead, because we don't have a list. I wouldn't mind that if we had that spreadsheet just so we knew, if you're willing to share that.
And I did share it with Sandra, and so it is on our shared drive, so it's available. I can print off a copy if you need it.
I need a printed copy, just so you know what the title of it is, so I can find it on the share. I think that will work for all.
Yeah.
And Sandra can get it set.
Actually, maybe it would be better if I emailed it, because there's like 20 tabs in that worksheet, and I'd hate to print every one of them.
I don't want it. We don't want to print it. Nobody here wants
it
printed, Barb. Okay. All right. We can handle it. We can't go read it and say, how about a printed copy? But I don't think that makes sense. Just so we could look at it if we need to know. So,
sure.
Okay, that would we just have the minutes reflect that we direct the IT director to proceed with granting the VPN access to the people who have requested it.
And that cleared your kind of your screen on your spreadsheet.
Yeah. Is that for me, Laura?
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to go on after Linda said that because there were more people who requested it first.
She said that they withdrew their request.
Okay. Yeah, just wanted to
that they.
Yeah, we have the final copy. And I just wanted to add, too, that I am asking them to sign the request form to make it official so we've got it for our records. And that is on the shared drive, and I sent out an email yesterday directing people where to go to get that information.
Okay. So to reiterate to all elected officials and department heads, you need to get that, make sure your employees get that paperwork in. Okay. Anything else, then, in terms of update? Then the staff updates will go to supervisors. I have some things, but I think we have some urgent business on our agenda, so I'm just going to wait to the end of the public comment session.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
If we need okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Then we will move on. Excuse me. Discussion and consideration of items brought before the board with requests for immediate action. Closing human services. Discussion and consideration of closing human services centers to the public during the COVID-19 pandemic. Facilities management, Joby, good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks for your quick work on this.
No problem. Governor Reynolds sent out a letter to all county supervisors. I think it's probably appropriate for me to read that letter so that it's on record, so I'm going to do that now, and then we'll discuss it in further detail after that. To Iowa, and then this letter is dated March 25th, 2020. To Iowa County Supervisors, as the state of Iowa works to manage the COVID-19 crisis, I have declared a state public health emergency and taken a series of necessary steps to slow the spread of the virus and protect the health and safety of Iowans. I am writing today to ensure that we work collaboratively at a county level to ensure continuity of operations of Iowa Department of Human Services, DHS. Work conducted out of county buildings. Should the decision be made to limit public access to county buildings that are leased by DHS, we ask the DHS offices remain accessible on an appointment basis, as they are our frontline access points for Iowans signing up for public assistance. During these uncertain times, I am grateful that Iowa has outstanding public officials at the local level. We are committed to both protecting the health and safety of Iowans and to the continuity of essential government services. That being read, I have spoken with our attorney's office, and so that we all kind of interpreted this letter the same way. As long as we provide by appointment spaces at the building, that we could close the doors. Our attorney's office agreed. I've spoken with my contact with the Department of Human Services, and they agreed. And there's a few things that we have to do at the front door of the building, hang some signs and mount a drop box before we can lock the building. That drop box and then signs are due to be delivered today. So checked on it right before I come up here, and they're out for delivery. We have not received them, but as soon as we do, we will hang those appropriately at the front entrance, and that allows clients to pick up and drop off packets of applications. We meet that condition, we can lock that door to the public. They are currently the only office operating out of that building. That building contains our own community services, which closed their doors when we locked all of our other facilities. Juvenile Court Services is not working from that office. They are working remotely. And then Boost, that office is working out of their Boone office because that is where all their files are contained. Our county attorney's office has provisions for their fines recovery. They do not have a need for the building to be open to the public.
I just have a question for you, Jeremy. So the drop box or whatever, would that be on outside of the building?
Correct.
So you're not, because I know you've got a double door entrance into.
That building does not, as this one, does not have the means to lock the inner set of doors.
Okay.
So there's an overhang canopy, so rain is not a concern. So, and Department of Human Services was comfortable with that drop box, lockable drop box to be mounted on the exterior of the building.
Okay.
So that is what we will do.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Jovi?
No, no, thank you.
You're welcome.
If there are no further questions, I would entertain a motion that we close the Human Services Center building to the public during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I would so move.
Second.
Further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Edden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carried. Jovi, thank you again so much
for
your support with all the issues that came up this week.
Isn't that tracking function nice? We can see when your package where it is.
We'll move on to item 2, discussion and consideration of revised temporary employment practices and policies in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And includes provisions from the Families First COVID Response Act. I believe it is.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, thank you. We have Noelle McClatchy here, and I think we probably also have Alyssa Wignall on the phone. Is that correct?
Yes, I am on the phone.
Hi, Alyssa. So, Noelle, what would you like to?
So, take 3 on this temporary policy. We have update on page 3. We just added the Families First Coronavirus Response Act instead of just having the FFCRA.
Mm-hmm.
Talk louder.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Page 4, we added guidelines that were set up. And if you recall yesterday, I sent out an email from the poster that the Department of Labor required us to send out. And it has the same information, same verbiage from that about the 6 categories that are expanded paid sick leave provision. And then page 5, we just included the expanded emergency paid family leave also from that Department of Labor Act. And then it continues on page 6. And those are the changes we are recommending that the board consider.
Are there any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
So going to page 4, And these are the bullet points that we had added during our first revision, not the original, but the first revision, and recently traveled outside of Iowa per the governor's recommendation on March 21, 2020. So this would be retroactive to anyone traveling 2021 to this last time. And I'm going to cough and know it's nothing more than it. Okay.
Yes, it would be retroactive for this pay period.
And that's the reason for that, because the pay period, to not make it just unwieldy, to have to separate out days in the pay period.
Correct.
Thank you.
That would have had a sip of water. And then that would mean that all employees had coverage, at least for this two-week period, even if they started on, like, March 20th, say, and then ended up traveling out of town, and had no sick leave, no vacation leave, or whatever, they still, if they met this or they traveled out of state, mm-hmm. they would still be able to be paid under this policy. So they would not lose any income or feel they had to come to work, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make this clear. The pay period starts March 15th. So we did have some employees on the 16th on that Monday that were isolating. And this would allow them to utilize that COVID pay for that.
Okay, so we actually pay period-wise, we then go back to March 15th. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have the policy ready to be adopted on the 16th.
Sure.
So I'm asking the board to cover the pay period in which this policy was adopted, which would start March 15th.
Okay. Yeah. So that employees know that they don't have to come to work if they meet this requirement, but I mean, we're kind of on a half period now, but at least we'll still get paid, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions?
No, I don't have any other, excuse me, no additional questions. This is Lisa. I do appreciate you writing out the what FFCRA was within the temporary policy. Mm-hmm. I think it is confusing to people. There's so many acronyms out there, and so I do appreciate that. I also appreciate the detail that you put in and staying on top of the federal legislation trying to address this epidemic as well. I said it before, it's a daily evolving issue, and so I appreciate that you have worked so hard, all of you worked so hard, Noelle and Sandra and Alyssa and stuff, to make sure that we are up to date so we're protecting our employees.
Anything else? Yes, fast, very fast work and good work. Thank you. If there's no further questions, then I would entertain a motion for approval of the revised temporary employment practices and policies in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, including provisions from the FFCRA.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. The revisions to the temporary employment practices and policy are adopted. I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this several times, and appreciate, as I've heard, keeping us up to date and getting information out to the employees. So next we have discussion and consideration of Story County telework agreement, again by Human Resources.
So in our first version of the temporary policy, the board approved the telework option. And this is just an additional, this would be the agreement that we would ask the board to consider for employees to sign and also have department or elected official approval prior to teleworking.
Are there any questions about the telework agreement?
Yes, I have a couple. The first one is if an employee wanted to or was asked to telework for a few days
and they weren't consistent, and in between they were asked to come into the building to do some work, would they need to find a new telework agreement every time? I think I read it here that it said you may be required to report. I just wanted to make it very clear.
Right, yes. So that would fall within this first agreement.
Okay. And then the second one is just kind of a reiteration or re-emphasis that this agreement does say that if someone signed a telework agreement and working from home, they're supposed to notify their supervisor, department head, elected official, whatever, every time they're coming into the building. Even if it's just to come in and download some things to a flash drive, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion for approval of the Story County Telework Agreement.
I would so move that we approve the telework agreement as presented to us.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Wilson?
Aye.
Fenton?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Telework agreement is approved. Next is discussion and consideration of temporary increase to vacation accruals, and we have Alyssa Wignall listed for this. Or Alyssa going to do that one? Or Noelle?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I think so. I'm making this request. We had some concerns that there were some vacations denied, and they're at their max. This request would just be a simple amendment to our current vacation policy that will allow the employees that policy affects or who is applied to accrue above the maximum accrual level in the original policy. So it's not changing the accrual levels or anything. It's just allowing them to accrue above and beyond the maximum since they're not able to take vacation at this point.
Okay, so I misunderstood, or I've been thinking about this one, okay? And I would like a little bit more of an explanation. So, Alyssa, could you explain again about when you say that no one would get any additional vacation time? Because that's one of my questions.
Correct. Sure. So our vacation policy outlines how many weeks per year an employee accrues based on their years of employment. So they're still going to accrue at those rates. What this letter and consideration that I'm asking the board is to, once you get to a certain max, you don't accrue anymore. So you're not accruing those weeks per year as specified because you're at your maximum. And we do that for, for payout purposes. We don't allow people to have like 8 weeks on the book. So they're still only accruing 2, 3, or 4 weeks a year, but we're extending the max so they can actually accrue their annual vacation.
Okay, so...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying on this, so bear with me.
Okay,
sorry,
yeah.
Because elected officials don't track vacation time, so maybe that's part of it, okay? And so self-employed for a long time before that, I had a vacation. So, so let's go back, and let's say I'm on year 3A, okay, so I get, 2 weeks if I were a normal, a typical
case.
Okay, but somebody who's got 30 years on the job, they've got accrued their maximum 960 hours.
No, that's sick leave, Mark.
No, sorry. Okay, so they've got their maximum of vacation time accrued.
Okay.
Okay. So if we enact this policy, would I get more vacation time accrued also?
You'd accrue at the same rate, but you wouldn't start losing.
You wouldn't lose it.
You wouldn't lose
it. So I still get my 2 weeks, no more, no less.
Right.
All right.
Correct.
That person still gets his or her 4 weeks, or they can take their maximum, but then they're dumping back into their accounts. Is that what it is? Is it replenishing their account?
It's allowing the employee to continue to accrue their vacation
since they are not able to take vacation at this
time. But we didn't take any vacation away from them. That's where I'm stuck, is they didn't lose any vacation
hours.
In their
normal times, they might be able to take the vacation so they don't go over their limits. We're not in normal times, and it may be that people who are maxed out, but they can't take vacation because they're needed.
So once they're maxed out, then they start losing vacation. So if we're not allowed,
and I just clarify something, they're not losing anything that they've accrued. They're just not able to accrue anymore. Yeah, they're not losing vacation. We're not taking it out of their bank.
So
they just can't accrue what they. Yeah, they can't accrue.
But they can't put anything more in their bank, right? They've maxed it already, or is it? You can only use so much per year, but you can fill it up before.
Usually, can I try to explain something here? Because I worked with this for 3 days. Okay. In normal times, if somebody gets up to that point, they're watching their vacation leave rate, and they're saying, "I'm going to schedule a vacation because I'm going to start not losing what I've already accrued, but I will lose what I could be accruing if I don't get down under the limit." These are unusual times. It's quite likely that people aren't going to be able to do that because we're going to need them here, or there's other reasons that they're not going to be able to take a vacation. Maybe they're at home taking care of children and taking on COVID leave. Or there are so many things that can happen that people would not be able to continue to accrue because they couldn't be taking that vacation. So this is trying, I think, to just say we understand that. We understand these are abnormal situations, and we're willing to work with you. That's what it's doing. We're saying in place, we're willing to work with you in a difficult situation.
Loris, I have a real employee in my office.
Kevin, would you come up here?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, this is no problem.
Right, understand.
This will be a real world example.
Okay.
I have an employee in my office who, due to their time of service, cannot accrue more than 120 hours of vacation time. They get, you know, 4.2 hours each pay period on their paycheck. They get 4.2 more hours or whatever the official number is. She was almost to 120 hours, at which point her next paycheck wouldn't have that 4.2 hours. It would be taken off, so she wouldn't get that. So she took a couple of days vacation. She intended to take more vacation over spring break, but with all the closings, it was shortened, and because we need people here, she did not take as much vacation time. So basically, her next paycheck, she's going to be very close to 120 hours again, which means that she will not get the 4.2 hours on each paycheck.
Thank you. Now that makes sense to me. It's like filling a bucket. It will only hold so much. And you can't pour any more into the set of flow. It's going to lose it. All right. Thank you. I now understand.
Thank you, Ted. Are there any more questions about the proposal?
No, just clarification. So, Alyssa, this would be the supplement to the vacation policy that you have. Is that correct?
Correct. And it will go away December 31st, 2020.
Okay.
So would your intent be to incorporate this language into the policy or just to have it by memo?
No. No, by memo.
Okay. So you'll make sure that everybody...
So payroll can just... Yes, payroll will just go in and change those maxes, and then as of the first payroll in January, they'll change them back.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions?
I'm trying to make it as simple as possible.
I am. Okay. Sorry. But I now understand it. I now visually can see it.
Okay.
So,
sorry, I couldn't explain it better.
No, that's good. It is a difficult concept and people haven't worked with it before.
I got one question for Alyssa. This is your. Would this include this current pay period?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for keeping it short, Joby.
I got one on staff that would be affected if it didn't.
Thanks for getting that clarification. Okay, are there any other questions? If not, I would entertain a motion for approval of the temporary increase to vacation accruals as presented by staff.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion. Hearing none. Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Adopted. Again, good, fast work by staff. Thank you very much. Next, we have consideration of amendments to the continuity of operations plan / continuity of government, or CUPCOG, as we affectionately call it. Portions of the plan are considered confidential. Do we need to go into closed session? Okay, because I was asked earlier and I didn't think we did.
Since the CUPCOG has been activated, I did ask elected officials and department heads to look at the annexes and verify the contact information, et cetera, is relevant, necessary, up to date, all those qualities are in place. If for some reason the board wants to discuss proposed changes that you do have for sections 8, which is essential functions, or section 23, which are the annexes, that does require closed session. I did present the board with the proposed changes. These were discussed by the CUPCOG management team this Wednesday, March 25th. The CCMT did recommend approval of the changes to the board. In summary, the changes are to the table of amendments, obviously, section 7, section 8, and again, that's the confidential. That would be require closed session. Section 12, which can be done in open session, and then section 23, which is, again, closed session.
So let's first say, does anybody have questions on the sections 8 and 23? Mm-hmm. If we don't have questions on those, if you've been able to get your questions answered, we won't have to go into closed session and change conference call numbers and kick people off and hopefully get reconnected again and then have to reconnect into open session. But if we need to go into closed session, we can do that.
I do not need to.
I do not need to either.
Thank you. Now, are there any questions that you would like, or clarifications you would like to ask for that can be dealt with in open session?
I have none.
Okay. Then, anything else that you would like to say before we entertain a motion?
No, I'm still wrestling with how we deliver this back out to employees or to those on the CCMT, but I will get that figured out.
Thank you. I know you will.
Thank you.
Okay. And then, since there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion for approval of the amendments to the CUPCOG plan as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Olson.
Aye.
Hedden.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. They are approved. Now we're to the item I added, which is 8, any other actions deemed necessary by the Board of Supervisors. There was something I would like to have us discuss here, and that is because of the continuing increased numbers and of COVID-19 cases in Iowa. We're still fairly low nationwide, but the numbers are increasing. We've seen several states that have done stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place orders. Iowa is not one of them. However, we do have been working towards a position where we would be able to send employees home to work at home if we deemed that that was an essential thing or a necessary thing to do while maintaining the essential functions of county government. I would ask the board if we could discuss and consider that, and if we, depending on where we go with that discussion, maybe take action.
My biggest question, watching it on the national level or considering it on the local level about, sending staff home and say, stay home, is that We've got an immediate situation, but there's no ability to see down the road if it will continue or not. In fact, a lot of people, even in Iowa, and experts are saying it's going to be here till June. If we're lucky, it'll be done by June, right? Okay, June or July, this summer, or there could be even a separate outbreak. And so I want to make sure that any action we take is a deliberate action. And I'm going to come back to what Treasurer Rasmussen did in his statement about he picked a very specific period of time for a very specific essential reason. And so if we were to look at, you know, saying to everybody, go home for a week, go home for 2 weeks, or, you know, whatever, it immediately stopped for for everybody who's non-essential. It stopped exposure. Okay? That does it for essentials who've got to work still in the building. We already know we've got more VPN capacity than we did. So the question is, what time period and at what time do we activate? Or if we activate now, and we do, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks, or 1 week, okay, you know, and then all of a sudden, there's this buildup, and there's a second wave, and then do we have to do it again? So that's my biggest concern, is about will our attempts really matter when it comes to, in the long run, the majority or 40% of our staff like Hopkins?
I think the rate is potentially higher than 40%. We'll get it from what I've seen from the CDC. But, you know, it is a tough call. But we have, you know, several employees and just the general community that are moving towards, let's just be at home for a while. Let's help to flatten that curve. I look at what we're seeing out in the East and West Coast, you know, what they keep talking about is that you're right, you don't know the exact date that it's going to be. It is here, but when the numbers are going to significantly increase. A challenge that we're faced with as well is the data we do receive. When you look like at the IDP website and see how many positive cases are out there, you have to remember that there's a delay in getting that reported, because some people that are tested, if they don't meet the certain criteria to go to the University of Iowa lab and have that response back in 24 to 48 hours, it's going to the other lab that's taking 5 to 6 days. So we don't know, you know, the gravity that we're at right now, because we're at a delayed amount. My concern would be just ongoing potential exposure that we have when we do have people coming in and going, going home. It does come into question, when is that exact date and for how long? I think that's a hard one to make that determination, because the virus isn't on a timeline. It's kind of telling us and evolving of what we have to do. I know that there are businesses that have closed. Some they have closed, obviously, by the governor's order, but some of them that have said, you know what, we want you at home working for 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and then we're going to reassess where things are at for the protection of employees.
I was going to ask a question, Alyssa, if I may, Supervisor Murphy, because it might add to this evening's part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've seen conflicting information about whether cities and counties, local governments, are going to be reimbursed for time off to employees. Alyssa, can you or Noelle give us any further update about where the latest is included in, say, that stimulus package even?
My understanding is that government probably won't be reimbursed for that. What they can be is if we have individuals taking the COVID leave, that's not subject, from what I can tell, it's not subject to the employer's Social Security contribution, but that we're still looking into the IRS guidelines as far as that. But
are you thinking that?
I don't think we're going to be.
No.
As far as, I don't know about, this is separate from FEMA.
I understand that.
This is just due to COVID leave. Yep.
Right. And that's why I understand that this is not the COVID leave. But then I'm wondering if we're going to get to apply for reimbursement for it. There comes a point back to, we don't know how long this is going to go on, where, you know, we're picking up costs. I understand we're budgeted for payroll. I mean, I understand there's money already budgeted. We've already collected the taxes on it, too, right, Ted? Because we're coming to the end of the fiscal year. Well, May? Yeah. So, all right. So, but I do want to know, you know, as that. It will not be my primary consideration, by the way. The health of everybody is my primary consideration. But
may I say a couple of things? I saw somebody on their signature line on an email the other day said something about take care of yourself. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I've been thinking of that every day since then. I've also heard some very good experts say, if you are overreacting, good. We do have things to look at. What happened in China? What happened in South Korea, what's happening in Italy right now, and what's happening in New York City right now, and what's starting to happen in California. I think we are in a position to learn from the experiences that others have had. We are now prepared to send employees home to work, or we can be very quickly prepared to send employees to work from home if they can. We know we'll have to have essential employees who cannot work from home. The jail and the sheriff's office are a primary example, but there are other people scattered around who, for various reasons, will have to. You know, what this will do, if we, and I'm proposing that we close for that we send employees home for 2 weeks with a return date of Monday, April 13th. That 2 weeks, we will be getting more information if we go that route, and that's my proposal. We will be getting more information then, and the board is meeting twice a week. We'll continue that. We can meet more often. We can stay in touch, and we can react as we have more information. If you look back 2 weeks ago, this has gone very rapidly in 2 weeks. So if we can do things that protect our customers, which we've already done, protect our employees, protect our workforce, an example of what our treasurer has looked at doing. That not every office can do that or department, but I think that we need to do it now.
I would like to see us put some parameters on, even though about if we do that. I mentioned asking if I can borrow from Ted's memo. Okay. The second paragraph in Ted's memo to us, I'm opening it up right now, it talks about the expectations for his workforce. And he talks about his 4 hours, but I'm going to start in the second paragraph, the second sentence, eliminate the time of 4 hours, but not in the office, shall be considered, he calls it treasury administration leave. And employees are expected to stay at home and practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working. And anything that we would do along this line, I would want that phrasing in there, because this is not a vacation. This would not be a vacation. The other things I'd like to look at is that employees who are sent home without work to do at home that day could be asked to do some work from home. As simple as maybe take time having the department phone forwarded to their phones so they could answer and pass on messages at home. And that those, and we know that there's needs down in the EOC. And could some of those people be transferred to become essential EOC in the function? So I'm interested in that if we undertake something like this with 2 weeks and sending all non-essential, sorry, I mean, that's kind of a negative phrase, even, but yeah, sending employees who do not need to be right here working or aren't able to work from home.
that they really are not, they really may still be relied upon with us doing the best we can to protect them, but they may have to come in or help at home with some function that normally they wouldn't do.
The in the memo that I asked staff to draft for us for a motion, in the motion I asked to draft, it says, any non-essential employees who are willing to help staff the emergency operations center, if they are needed, will be considered essential for that function. So that is covered in the motion.
Willing, it says who are willing. How about could we require them?
I don't think we can require
them. I'm looking out at my county attorney and at Noel right now. The difference is that can we require a non-essential person who is on this, whatever we're going to call it, this two-week shelter in place or whatever, can we say, but if we need you to come back in to do something at the EOC, you need to come back in. That's what I don't want. That's what I'm interested in. And in item number one under your draft, it says, and may be asked to perform some work from home instead. And I'd like to say it to say will be asked to perform some work from home if needed, because that's right in here, if needed. But so that we don't get into a situation where we've got a lot of people sent home who are, and we can use them in some function to answer forwarded folks or to assemble a list of something that can be done at home that does not require computer access.
So you're Ethan, you've been asked, can we require people to go to the emergency operations center to work?
That's an interesting question. I'd like potentially discuss that with WISA. But typically, those functions would be for an elected official at the discretion of elected official on how they designate their employees for work. For the board, it would be a decision of the board for their employees.
Okay.
But if you're putting them on leave, a type of paid administrative leave,
mm-hmm.
What I have been advocating for and recommending to the board and in discussions with WISA and Noel and these policies is, especially if you look at our telework agreement, the phrase in their discretion. It's at the discretion. So I would be more comfortable with a language as proposed that says may, not shall,
okay.
Not required. I think leaving this to elected officials as far as where they send their employees or where they have their employees report to work and then to the department heads, I prefer the may and the discretionary language, the mandatory language.
Okay.
Thank Again, you. This is an evolving situation, I think.
Right. Okay. I appreciate because what you've also said, and as you gave it, looks like the, you know, as you said, that it can be discretionary. We, the Board of Supervisors, if we feel that if we've sent secondary roads people home, and then it looks out that maybe there are a couple of functions they could serve in the EOC, just answering phones, for example, that we would have the discretion to call them back in prior to the 2 weeks being up.
From what I've seen of the functions down at the EOC, there's not just a phone that rings in the corner that you answer. Everything that comes through on some very sophisticated software. So I'm even wondering if people, you know.
We also know, as an example, now this is not maybe secondary road, maybe it is, but we see on our daily update report that facilities management could use somebody to help with claims. So there will be evolving needs, too. I just want to make sure that we are not sending people home and that, it, in essence, we leave things undone and that we're still paying people. I'm not asking about, you know, overdue exposure or anything. I just want to make sure that we still, or the other elected officials, have options to be able to call people back if we need them.
Well, certainly, I think flexibility is important. I haven't seen the motion that staff has prepared, but I think
I'm sorry, I didn't get
you.
Yeah,
kind of caught you.
Last minute.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief pause here while Ethan Anderson reviews the motion that's been put together. And I'm sure everybody wonders what it says. If we're getting close to saying this is what we're looking at, I can certainly read the motion.
Go
ahead, an extra copy.
I guess I have a question while Ethan's
okay,
reading that.
Yeah, I think somebody's not on mute. Maybe you'd want to mute your phone.
So I guess my question would follow with some of the individuals who will have VPN mm-hmm. access. I don't know if VPN went to all potentially essentials or are also some of them non-essential so that they could do some additional work from home, as kind of discussed, and it does say in here, you know, may perform work from home if needed and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think with people in administrative leave, in paid status, some of that becomes kind of, I think we can ask them to do whatever they work there is available to do that we feel needs to be done. I don't think we have to say, oh, no, that's not an essential. I can't hear somebody saying, hey, that's not an essential function. I'm not going to do that. I don't think that employees would do that. I think, actually, quite frankly, you're going to get pretty bored sitting at home. And or your question about people going out and, you know, not realizing they're being sent at home. Staff have also been working on an email that maybe is a, you know, this is a pretty long motion. We couldn't get like a full-page motion. They're working on an email that kind of gives some guidance to them. So the purpose of this is to keep you healthy, you know, both personally and as somebody, you know, as an employee. So other than essential going out to get groceries, prescriptions, that kind of thing, the expectation is that you're being sent at home to protect yourself.
Which is why I like Ted's language there mm-hmm. during the typical working
hours. Yeah, and it's in the draft memo that has been put together, and I don't know how much more we want to try to get into a motion. Ethan, what are your thoughts on that motion? Do you have any suggestions?
No, just a general review that looks okay to me. I mean, I think in conversations I've had with Alyssa and Noel, there's certainly precedent for that in different counties that have taken those steps to send non-essential employees home for a paid admin leave. And I certainly think leaving the discretion and flexibility is the way to do it. The staffing EOC is a specific function that people probably need to be trained on. And as Supervisor Hazard has said, that would probably be an evolving situation that if we needed to revisit that and get people there, we have the ability to come here in a meeting and take that action, get it done.
And I thank you. I think these things that do need to be brought up. I mean, I go back to feedback we had from one manager type person who was concerned about, you know, mandatory sending people home and et cetera, and when maybe some people might be looser with that. Also, then I had a couple of questions from people just in general about. Not be fair in life, but what's the fairness if some people get to sit at home and do nothing and other people have to come to work and risk exposure and do a job? And then there's that in between when you're sitting at home. So, and I know fairness is, there, nothing's fair, but I just want to make sure that this is out and people can listen to this audio and hear the discussion too.
I also look at it as, I think if you have people at home, you know, you have businesses that have closed in the community. I mean, I'd love to go get a haircut, but that's not going to happen anytime soon unless I do it myself, because those are closed. You have departments that are closed, you know, closing, restaurants that are closed.
Right.
So it minimizes people being out and about. Yes, they may be at home. Kind of going to your comment, well, is it fair? Some people are working and some people are here. When you minimize the people that you're around,
mm-hmm.
you are enhancing the health of everybody. So some may be at home, but you still have less people that you're interacting
at your place of employment. So, and I think the other people that need to be mentioned at this are the taxpayers, because not every taxpayer out there has a job that where they have an option to this. They're either self-employed or independent contractors. They are your hair stylist and mine, and they're sitting at home who can't do their trade, and it does, and it looks like Congress may not even be bailing them out, depending on what gets passed in the stimulus package. So we have an obligation to our taxpayers also to say that for every dollar that we're spending, we're trying to, yes, take care of our employees, but also we are trying to effectively spend your money. So that's the other thing I think we don't lose sight of here.
No, I agree there, but we also want to make sure that when this pandemic ends, you know, we don't know a date or whatever, that we're able to go right back into kind of our regular day-to-day, that you've got your full staff to be able to step right back in and that haven't been, you know, suffering from complications.
It will be interesting to see if this goes on long term, what actually duties end up being essential and which ones aren't. This could be a real, I mean, just in general, a real eye-opener for people about what is really said to be necessary to do and not to do, but that would be down the road.
You know, I'd like to address that because that's something I've been thinking of, looking at the essential functions, and without saying, breaking confidentiality, there are some departments that don't have essential functions, or many. And essential is really talking about, is it time limited? Does it have to be done within a certain amount of time? And you've seen the chart, you know that's what it's at. That doesn't mean that the work that isn't essential isn't important. And I'd really like to stress that for people. If somebody said, well, you know, calling people essential, it's not essential people. It's essential function, time limited. We're all essential to our jobs.
Good point.
Yeah, well said.
Good point.
Yes, I think you said it when you said earlier that this is an important public policy discussion and decision to make, but I think when you set a time limit on it, that matters. And that taxpayers can see that there's a specific reason for this, CDC guidelines, government recommendations, and a desire to keep those essential services flowing to county residents. And that's important consideration, I think. Not an easy job.
Thank you. I see Joby coming up here. He wants to make a comment or ask a question, I presume.
I would like to speak about the essential functions, just as Linda, you brought it up. We have a document that kind of lays out services and gives essential functions to elected offices and departments. Some of those current listed essential functions don't correlate with current situations. So I think we need to think about that, because my department is affected by that particular document, I should talk. You know, it's listed my department's essential functions based off of a maintenance side of things. But in this current situation, an essential function, I think, is disinfecting everything that everybody touches. So the employees in my department that are performing them duties right now, who are, in my eyes, the most essential people in my department, do not have essential functions per our COOPCOG.
When I reviewed COOPCOG a few weeks ago, I found the word pandemic in its font. And that's because we're in Iowa, we think about tornadoes, we think about blizzards, we think about the things the weather does to us. And it's an overall plan. And I think we are seeing things that come up that we say, boy, we never thought that would be an issue. We never thought of putting, you know, that keeping the building, you know, as clean as possible is an essential function if it's a pandemic. It's just essential functions, assuming whatever could happen. So I would say that the essential functions that are in that document were the best guess at that time, and we are finding out, and it's me, all department heads and elected officials, you know, if you say something is essential from your department to deal with COVID-19, I believe you.
Yeah, and I think especially given CCMT discussions being, you know, talking about not wanting to change a lot of the book right now, but that doesn't mean we can't real world acknowledge. We can't come to work every day if your staff has not been in here and doing all those common areas, et cetera, with disinfectant.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up so that to help people understand that sometimes essential functions need to change based off of the situation that we are presented with, to not just look at what something was written down, you know, months, years ago, that was, you know, when you can't think of everything. So people understand that, yeah, you might, per this document, it doesn't say you have an essential function, but to understand that you may, given certain situations.
So department heads and elected officials are going to need to reevaluate quickly. You know, we're talking about doing something very quickly here. So they also are going to have to evaluate very quickly what's essential function. If there's any disagreement, like if, you know, I mean, I can't see where there would be. But like you say, it's not even in the book. That doesn't mean it's not the most important thing you're doing as long as everybody's walking in the building. So,
I think what we're finding too is that since this is an ever-evolving situation, you know, it's not just monthly or weekly or daily, it's hourly at times. We're recognizing through many of our policies of things that we are going to have to review when this is over. I mean, we're doing what we can as they come up to address things immediately, but I do think we're going to have to take a larger look through many of our policies, you know, I never would have thought I would experience a pandemic in my lifetime. Will this be the only one? I don't know. We don't know. And I think we need to look and make sure that we are prepared that this may be a situation that comes up more often than we ever would have thought of, unfortunately. I think that's right, where we're looking at essential function that someone is carrying out. This is what we're learning from.
Yep.
These are things that we are learning.
That essential function might change tomorrow.
That's right.
Point. I appreciate you bringing that up, and it will. And that's for all employees,
your
department head or your elected official, who's determining what and who are essential right now for continuing essential county operations. Function. So, are there any other questions or comments or discussion before we would possibly have a motion on this?
Not from me. I don't have any other questions at this particular time.
I don't see anybody who's in this room. Moving forward to the microphone, is anybody who is on the call have anything they want to say that pertains before we have a motion made?
Out of curiosity, are you going to read the entire motion?
Well, we have copies of it, so I'm going to ask whoever is going to make the motion to read it. And then after it's seconded, if it's seconded, then we'll allow some further discussion. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That might be the better way to do it. If we don't have a motion, it doesn't matter. So I would entertain that there be a motion, entertain a motion regarding sending employees home.
I'll make the motion. I move that in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and Story County's commitment to reduce the spread, Story County government continue to provide essential services but instruct department heads and strongly recommend to elected officials that they, 1, send home all non-essential employees by 4:30 today, March 27th, 2020, and return with a return date of Monday, April 13th, 2020. Employees will be paid at their regular rate of pay for this 2-week period and may be asked to perform some work from home if needed. if at any point during the two-week period a shelter-in-place order is issued by the governor of Iowa, employees not performing work will be required to use their COVID-19 leave. Any non-essential employees who are willing to help staff the Emergency Operations Center, if they are needed, will be considered essential for that function. Two, send home all essential employees who can work from home as soon as they are equipped to work at home electronically, either by the end of today or, if more time is needed, by the end of next Monday, March 30th, 2020. And three, instruct all essential employees who cannot perform essential functions from home to continue working in their workplace.
I would make a second with a friendly amendment, possibly, that going back to item one, the second full sentence, which talks about may be asked to perform some work from home if needed, period, I would like us to insert from Treasurer Rasmussen's memo from today, second paragraph, one, two, third sentence.
Can you read it, please?
Yes, I will. Employees are expected to stay at home and practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working in the future, period.
Would you repeat it again?
Yes, I will. Employees are expected to stay at home and practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working in the future.
So I have...
I didn't know if you had a question there, Linda.
I do, but maybe...
Oh, okay. I'll second.
Okay, super.
Does not give any exceptions like going out for groceries, going out for medicine, going out to a doctor's appointment if you needed to go in or to get tested for COVID-19.
And that
part was going to be in the memo that went to all staff.
Okay.
And we can, I think if we're going to do that, we have to add something allowing that there are exceptions. And I don't have the copy of the email that staff was preparing, but I believe that was in the email. Alyssa, are you still on the phone?
I am on the phone.
Is that all in the email? That
we asked employees to stay home. If you need to leave your home to conduct urgent business or for supplies, please practice social distancing. I think we just need to be reasonable. If they need to go get a prescription, if they need milk or bread, they can leave home. They might not do it during work hours anyway. It might be before or after. So I don't think we can restrict them from leaving their home, period.
May I amend my own motion then to say employees are expected to...
But did you just withdraw your motion?
I can withdraw it and restate it.
You already seconded it.
Yeah. So I could amend it.
Down and
remove. Yeah. It's cleaner, I guess, for me to withdraw it. Okay.
So you can't since I seconded it. So we need to vote on your motion.
The second. We need to vote on.
We need to vote on your motion. If you want to do a new motion, you can only do that if this one voted down.
Okay. So we'll do that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, Olson.
No.
Then
no.
Murphy, no.
I would like to move that. Now my computer went to sleep. And no, that's a separate one. Leave it out of there. I would like to add that sentence, employees are expected to stay at home with the exception of meeting basic needs and practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working in the future.
basic needs good for everybody?
Would you slowly repeat the entire, your entire addition?
It's the exact same thing. Employees are expected to stay at home with the exception of meeting basic essential needs. I'll add an essential. And practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working in the future.
Okay.
So now I have a question on that, kind of going
up. We need a second.
Oh, okay.
Or do you not want a second and we'll try again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a second? If not, motion dies for lack of a second. I hope you have the, that written down here for Shelley, because there's so much to talk about all of this. I was trying to, but I didn't even get the whole sentence written down.
Okay, I've got it right in front of you.
I asked for a spade new piece, so I'm not going to ask for a fourth one.
Okay, okay. So my question comes up.
Probably we just need further discussion.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So we're back to discussing.
Thank you. So my question goes along with the motions that have failed as some things come to light, you know, other things to consider. So, yes, basic needs are your grocery store, your medical, but I also look at the post office. I mean, some people have, that is where they get their mail from. You know, they have a P.O. box versus that, or they have to go to the bank to get some money out to go to the grocery store. I actually get what we're wanting to do. I'm just trying to figure out how. Do we need to be that specific, or do we just say something in that we encourage folks to practice those safe social distancing policies?
How about if we say employees, okay, I'm going to make another motion. It'll either go or it won't. Employees are expected to be available for work at short notice and to practice safe social distancing policies to ensure their ability to continue working in the future. It addresses where my real big issue is.
Are you allowed to have public input?
Let's see what we can get here.
Well, I just wanted to clarify where the state came
from. Right, but I also wanted to say that the first sentence in the motion says that employees may be asked to perform work at home if needed. So that's already kind of encapsulated in, I think, what you're.
I understand the county attorney's need or assistant county attorney's need for wanting flexibility and discretionary there with the mays instead of the shalls, but may leaves it too open. You know, I think in one way, the vast majority of our employees are going to be available, and they're going to do that, and they're going to stay home and practice safe social distancing. But we heard in our discussion on Tuesday that we can't keep them from vacationing. We can't, you know, just saying you can't go on vacation or you can't do this. I'm just trying to clarify that we, in fact, would have a workforce available. I think it's important also, once again, to send that message to the taxpayer that we set some expectations on them.
You know, they're not on vacation leave. They are in paid status. We are paying them. And when you're paying an employee and they're not on leave, you can direct their work. That's just a simple employment practice. They are in paid status. We can direct their work.
Okay.
And I think that we need to allow the department heads and the elected officials to do that. And we can maybe go back to that memo and kind of put that in there. I just think we're trying to get too much in a motion. And as you said earlier, Supervisor Olson, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
It's a pretty long motion, so I'm only suggesting one sentence. I just want to address that. But, you know, if we can't come up with the language for it, we're on our fourth now, not second, okay? So basically, I'm getting the message from the two of you is we don't want this in here. So I'm not going to make another motion, but I'm going to wait with a little bit of trepidation to wait until that time comes when my fears have come up. Real. I hope they don't. I really hope they don't.
Okay. But I would think that it would also become an HR issue if they're home on administrative leave and potentially going on a vacation. That would be two different things.
Or just not available for a whole day. Oh, sorry, I did book for this and I booked for that. And it wouldn't be medically related, or I've got to go to the grocery store because we have nothing in the refrigerator. So I've done the best I could, okay? So my amendments have died, right? So we are back to, I seconded with a friendly amendment. So we are back to your motion about whether there's a second or not. Correct, Linda?
The way I heard, the original motion was made, and I added the changes on it in my copy. I think you used the term essential services rather than essential functions, and it doesn't matter. And I think that in the first, that's okay. But then there was a place where 2020 wasn't in. It was the April 13th date, and you added 2020, which was a good addition. But other than that, I think that was your motion was pretty much as it's written.
It was.
Are you interested in making a motion again?
So would I withdraw my motion then?
Your motion died.
Yeah.
We do not have a motion right now. You have to make a new motion.
I gotcha. You want me to read the motion? So I will make a motion. I move that in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and Story County's commitment to reduce the spread, Story County government continue to provide essential functions, but instruct department heads and strongly recommend to elected officials that they, 1, send home all non-essential employees by 4:30 today, March 27th, 2020, and with a return date of Monday, April 13th, 2020. Employees will be paid their regular rate of pay for this two-week period and may be asked to perform some work from home if needed. If at any point during this two-week period a shelter-in-place order is issued by the governor of Iowa, employees not performing work will be required to use their COVID-19 leave. Any non-essential employees who are willing to help staff the Emergency Operations Center, if they are needed, will be considered essential for that function. 2, send home all essential employees who can work from home as soon as they are equipped to work at home electronically, either by the end of today or, if more time is needed, by the end of next Monday, March 30th, 2020. 3, instruct all essential employees who cannot perform essential functions from home to continue working in their workplace.
Linda, second and immediately direct a question to our county attorney. Okay. Ethan, in Ted's memo, he talked about they were on treasurer's administrative leave. Do we need to mention administrative leave in this motion to go with what Linda had said about they're on leave, they're being paid, we can tell them what to do? Do we need the word leave in here?
I don't believe so. I think the further clarification coming in the memo or email to staff should be sufficient.
Okay. Thank you.
I believe the memo or email to staff addressing that should be sufficient.
Will the memo or email to staff say whether the COG CCRT is an essential function of the county and how we will handle that going forward?
Treasurer Rasmussen just asked if the email would say that the COOPCOG is the essential function of the county and that we would continue to operate that. I think that's just a given because we've activated the COOPCOG.
So do you mean serving on the CCMT?
Continue regularly scheduled meetings, status reports, etc.
And I had some notes actually after we were done with this to talk about some of those issues. So if we, and if I don't, when I, after I do that, if I don't make myself clear enough or if you have another question, please feel free to ask it then. That's okay, good. Thank you. And Are there any other discussion?
Okay. This is Connie at the Sheriff's Office. May I ask a question?
Yes.
So my question would be reference the pay on that pay date that we would be gone for. It says that everybody will receive their regular rate of pay. Obviously, I work in an office that our employees are essential, or a majority of them are. And if they accrue overtime, are they going to have to wait until that next pay period to collect that overtime, or how is that going to work?
No, I don't believe so. That's not what that was intended to mean. It just meant that they are getting paid as they normally get paid. And overtime is not okay. Normal regular pay is as it's worked.
Okay, I didn't know if the timesheets would still be turned in on that Monday, and that's, I guess that's what I was getting at.
I think that if any, no, timesheets need to be turned in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Are there any other things before we vote? And if there are questions about exactly how something is going to go in this, I would really suggest that instead of using this discussion time for them, that they be directed to HR. And Noel's nodding, she's going to be available. Are there any other points before the board votes?
No, my only comment I would just make is I understand what we're wanting is for folks to practice social distancing and maintain their safety. I just wanted to say to Supervisor Olson, I understand what you're trying to get that. That's not what I was missing. I think we're having a problem finding the right verbiage that didn't, that makes sense and wasn't causing another issue in there. So that's what I want to. So from hearing from Supervisor Merkin, it sounds like that is something that will be part of a memo, should this pass or whatever, to kind of clarify that. But I think we're getting kind of, that was just my only comment on it.
So following up on that, in the past board, there are sometimes memos, often actually, memos from the board chair actually were shown to the other two supervisors. The action had already been taken, and what we were just looking now for was the wording to go out. Is that something that you would still be comfortable with? I don't know that you knew it before, but it happened, okay? There's just the discussion had already been done at the board table. The vote had already been done. Now it was the sending out of the implementation memo, and like I said, we usually looked at them. The other two supervisors looked at them. Can we do that, or are you nervous with it? I always wondered about a little bit about it, but...
I think it depends on if it's just kind of simple little typographical changes, not changing the whole policy beyond what was discussed this morning in the action. I think, if you're circulating it for just clarification or administrative review, I don't see that as a problem.
Okay, but then we're back to a little bit. Did we not just pass the policy right now?
Yes.
So we need better that we don't vote it yet. In the event that we vote in the affirmative. Okay. So if there's a whole memo coming out, though, that's going to lay out the policy, then does that memo need to come from HR then without any input from any of the supervisors? So it shouldn't come out of the board chair's name because then we all agree. I mean, at what point have we done the policy, and are we still developing the policy?
I will commit to working with HR to make sure that it's addressing the concerns and that it's properly formatted and prepared for distribution. I think we can circulate it if you want to see it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'll work with distribution.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I will call for a vote. on the motion that's been made. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. It's adopted.
And Shelley's relieved.
So department has an elected official. I have a feeling you will be receiving an email from somebody on staff on additional steps you might need to take today and during the work at home period. So do look for that. Also, I think there will be a change in the daily status report that Leanne sends out, because one thing we didn't anticipate was that we would have people working in the workplace, working from home, or just at home. We might ask that be on the status report. Reminder about the CCMT meetings. We have one scheduled for Wednesday. We also have Board of Supervisors meetings scheduled. I plan to work with the auditor's office and with Leanne on how we get those done. Always check the agenda that's sent out for the conference call number, because we now have various conference call capabilities that we'll be using depending on if we expect just a few people on a call or we want to have more larger access. Also, when we need to go into a closed session, we sometimes will have to shift from one to the other. It's very clunky, but we had to do it the other day, and we'll get better at that.
Do we want to do the video?
Pardon?
Do you
want to
do the video?
Would you come up here if you're going to ask a question on the board? I'm sorry.
Just
if you want to
continue to do the video.
Let's get it. I just want it on
it. If people are working remotely, just wondering if you want to continue to do the videos on YouTube. And I will comment, our viewers have actually declined over the past couple of weeks.
I'm not surprised. Given the situation, again, I see no reason to devote that as a high priority of Leah's time. We've got so much going on.
Right.
It also still is very clunky, and as I kind of had communicated, I think maybe to Leanne before, maybe you guys, is that as Barb and I work to look at, if this goes on long term, other options, there might be options where we might be able to have a more recordable or transferable. So my feeling is let's go and try to shoot for the best audio possible, which Barb and I will discuss again.
You have no problem with discontinuing videos?
No, that's right.
I have absolutely no problem with discontinuing the videos at this point. So that's the direction from the board, Leanne.
I just ask you to put something on the YouTube channel. Thank you.
I think one other thing I would like to say to whoever's on the call, and maybe to even say this further, you know, everybody be cognizant that everyone is on kind of a high level of alert and concern, and it's very easy to say, I heard this or I heard that, and to spread things that in fact aren't happening and don't happen. So I would just ask all of us to be very careful about that, if it's on social media or wherever. If you have a question and you don't know or you've heard something, ask your supervisor. If your supervisor doesn't know what we're doing, have the supervisor contact somebody who might, but let's make sure that what the information that we send out is accurate and verified. Okay. I know Todd Mungall is a good source for a lot of questions in terms of OSHA-type-related things. I would encourage you, I've heard that COVID-19 is this or that or whatever, I would encourage you. Todd, I know, welcomes questions, and we'll share his expertise if you have questions that are specific to his area of expertise. I don't have anything else. I'm cognizant of the time. It's 11:30. The action we did just take is effective for people who can. You can, department heads and elected officials, that if you are letting people go back home, go home, you can, 4:30 is effective, but if you've got people, 4:30 today, but if you've got people that don't have their VPNs installed on their laptops or whatever, if that is not done by 4:30, what the motion, which I no longer have in front of me, said was Monday at 4:30. So, and we'll get that motion hopefully up really quickly, and maybe we can just even put that motion out someplace before the minutes are done so people can get that text. Maybe we can put that, maybe staff can get that inserted in the email they'll be sending out. Are there any further questions?
You do have on your agenda for public comment.
Okay, thank you. I see Treasurer Rasmussen using the microphone for public comment.
So to clarify, we are going to try to continue as many services as possible in a work from home situation. The board will continue to meet. The CCMT of the CUPCOG will continue to meet. We still are doing our daily status reports to the CCMT coordinator.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking for clarification. At least that's mine. I answered for the board. Does anybody else have any other? Any
problems? I thought three nods.
Yeah. So that's three nods.
Now for the record. All three nods.
I wasn't looking left and right.
Right.
So thank you for that.
Well, and I think in added to that, Ted, the action that was taken today still means we are continuing county functions. So folks that need county services, we are still providing them, but we're also doing it in a way that is protecting our employees so that we can continue those functions into the future. And I did a quick look yesterday. There were 179 positive cases, and as of 11:30 this morning, we have 235 in the state of Iowa. So you can just see that again, this is continuing to grow, and you don't know where it's going to be by the end of the day. Today.
235 minus 179.
That's 56 additional.
56 additional cases today.
And again, remember
that the testing is,
depending where the testing is done at, if they don't meet certain criteria, we're running about 5 days behind on having all the updated reports.
Well, that's double what yesterday was. So it's, that's what they were saying the concern is.
Right.
I think that we've taken a very prudent action today, and I would ask for all the department heads and elected officials, watch your email for some further instructions from one of the directors of internal external operations, or both of them, or Noel. There will be some more things coming out yet today, and please look at them as quickly as you can. Please make your plans as quickly as you can, and continue your status reports, and I don't know, is there anything else to be said at this point?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion.
I move to adjourn.
I second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We are adjourned.